Yes. God is good. God is good. Amen. If I were to give this message a title, it would be Shields Up, Swords Out. Yeah. Amen. It was so cool because I thought about this morning, that a card that we had the children do prophetic art, and Eliana had made this card, and she gave it to me. And it's got the armor of God on it, which I was going to talk about some of that today. But I love it. She's got the belt of truth, and it looks like it has all these spikes hanging out of it. And I'm like, yeah, sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Yeah, don't get too close if you don't want to know. So anyway, praise the Lord. And then it's so cool because when you different people will come with different pieces of it. And it's like, oh my goodness, I've been thinking on those things. And it's just so amazing to see the Lord work through everything. I am mainly talking on Hebrews 11 today. I felt like the Lord wanted me to really talk about faith. And so last week when Adobe got up here and he was talking about faith, I got so excited because, you know, that's just, you know, where God has my heart right now. And so Hebrews 11 is such a good chapter for that, because that is the, what do they call it, Hall of Fame of those with great faith. And as I was preparing this message, usually what I do is I get little bits and pieces, and I might write some things down, and then before I come up here to talk, I try to put it in logical form so that it flows. And yesterday, it just was not flowing well. Because what happens is you go into a chapter like Hebrews 11, and and you have all these people of faith. It's so easy to get on all these different little rabbit trails. It's kind of like when you want to look something up on the internet, and then all of a sudden you've been on there an hour. Because, well, this looks interesting. And so that was kind of driving me nuts. And so that's when the Lord told me, he said, set the tone. And the tone was shields up, swords out. It's like, okay. There's a scripture, you want to go ahead and put that first one up. This is from the Passion Translation, and it is Hebrews 11, verse 13. These heroes all died still clinging to their faith, not even receiving all that had been promised them, but they saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of their promises and gladly embraced it from afar. They all lived their lives on earth as those who belonged to another realm. Some translations say strangers and aliens, but I thought, this is nice. You know, those of us who know him, we're not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And we're in a different realm. And we're to see beyond the horizon. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved by what we don't see. We're moved by what we hear him say. The next one is verses 33 to 34. Oh, it's over here. Oh, well, cool. All right. Through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality. It was faith that shut the mouth of lions, put out the power of raging fire, and caused many to escape certain death by the sword. In their weakness, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies from another realm into battle array. That is awesome. We are from another realm, and we can pull down armies from that realm to do battle. Whew. okay, you may be dismissed. No. But you could really just meditate on that. Faith defined, I love this, Priscilla Shire. One of my favorite books, and I've talked about it some different times I've been up here, is her book on the armor of God. And so this is how she defined faith. By definition, faith is not talking about or thinking about or even celebrating God's truth. It is the process of adapting your behavior, your decisions, and ultimately your whole lifestyle so that it accords with what God has asked you to do, without needing to see the evidence that it will all work out in the end. Anybody ever have to step out in faith? And it's scary because it's like, I don't know how this is going to end. But faith is like, well, I know it's going to end well. I'm just not sure exactly what it looks like, but I know it's going to end well. Abraham, in Hebrews 11, verse 8, I don't have the scripture up here, but I'm just going to read this. Faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. I don't know about you, but it seems like we've lost our familiar. I feel like I have. Anybody else? It just feels like a different world. It feels like we're in a different country. So he left with only a promise, without even knowing ahead of time where he was going. Abraham stepped out in faith. He lived by faith as an immigrant in his promised land as though it belonged to someone else. He journeyed through the land living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who were persuaded that they were also co-heirs of the same promise. His eyes of faith were set on the city with unshakable foundations. Oh, I love that. Whose architect and builder is God himself. Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing, for the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. In fact, so many children were subsequently fathered by this aged man of faith, one who was as good as dead, that he now has offspring as innumerable as the sand on the seashore and as the stars in the sky. Now, jumping back up to the first part of Hebrews, I know I'm reading a lot of scripture, but I just think it's beautiful and says it better than what I can come up with myself. Hebrews 11, verse 1-3. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. This testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. How many times have you stood in front of the ocean or sea nature and say, how could people say there is not a creator? How could people possibly say there is no God? How can you even look at the human body and all its intricacies? Did I say that right? Yeah. And not believe that there's a God. But that's faith. To us, it seems obvious, doesn't it? It's just obvious. And one of the scriptures that really got me on this trail, this path, is in Hebrews 11, 19. Abraham's faith made it logical to him that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and symbolically, that's exactly what happened. I love that word logical. It's obvious. For people of faith, these things are obvious to us. But those who don't have faith, they don't see it. They're unable to see it. There's a few, I've been watching a few interviews on YouTube of Christian leaders who have left the faith. You know, they say that they're no longer Christians. Some are even saying they don't even believe in God anymore. And I'm just amazed. And so I watch these interviews because it's like, help me understand that. It seems, I don't have a grid for that. I can't imagine saying that. And they're not even under duress. We see in Hebrews 11, those who were tortured and they still did not renounce their faith. What makes someone renounce their faith and there's no pressure to renounce their faith? And so I listen to what comes out of their mouths, and it's things like this one, I don't remember his name. He was a worship leader of a punk rock Christian band. Some of you may have heard of him, but something Hawk Cooper. And he was very humble, and you could tell he was struggling. And he said, well, I'm not sure there is even a God. And what really cinched it is he went on this missions trip, and he saw these children who were starving. And he said, if God is so loving, how could he let that happen? Me being a father, he said, I'm a father, and I would never let that happen. And then one of the other ones I heard talk is a woman, and it was basically the same type of thing. She said, I see children who have cancer, and, you know, I'm a mother, and I, you know, if God is so loving, how can that happen? And it's really people who don't understand the realm. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness in heavenly places. That's where the battle is. God came to do good. All good and perfect gifts come from him. And the devil, the enemy, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And it just breaks my heart to see them. And all I can do is just pray that, you know. But that's what we're seeing. And it does say in the word that many will fall away. We want to make sure that doesn't happen. So faith makes the things of God obvious and logical. We are not moved by what we see, but what we don't see. We are moved by what he says. So for instance, it's easy to believe that a table will come together when you see a pile of wood, nails, hammers, and saws. But faith sees the table from when nothing is present because God said it is there. A lot of times we want to see that in order to believe it. So people of war. So I'm going to talk about the shield of faith and sword of the Spirit. Another quote from Priscilla Shire. The act of faith is what becomes a shield of protection to guard against the enemy's attacks. What is the shield of faith? The shield that Paul refers to is based on the Roman shield, which was it wasn't that little round disc that you see. It was like the size of a door, and it covered the entire body. Now, that obviously is not something you wear, because the other armor that we're to wear is the helmet of salvation. We should have that on all the time. It's on our head. It's on our brains. Renew our minds. I'll refer to Eliana's card so I can remember to mention each one of them. The helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. We should always have that on. To know what the truth is. The breastplate of righteousness over our hearts. We wear it on our chests. We are righteous through the blood of Jesus. The shoes of peace. The peace of the gospel. So those are things we should be wearing all the time. But when it comes to the shield of faith, that is something we're to take up. And, you know, think about it. You would not walk around wearing something the size of a door. That would be a little hard. So, but you pick it up. And the reason for that is to extinguish the flaming arrows or fiery darts. The shield was made up of 6 layers of leather, making it very tough to penetrate. And it was the soldier's duty to care for his shield by applying oil to it daily. Otherwise, it would dry out and crack. And they never knew when they were going to be called out to battle. The flaming arrows were not primarily meant to kill or destroy. They were meant to distract. For instance, there was a frontier practice of staging surprise assaults using flaming arrows. This tactical strategy caught the other side off guard. Flaming arrows would start a fire on the canvas-covered wagon, disrupting military lines and causing the occupants to focus on the blaze rather than the attacking enemy. And I used that this morning. I had to. Because this morning, well, yeah, starting yesterday when I was working on this message, it's like, oh, man, I was going down all these trails, and it wasn't flowing, and why on earth did I say I would do this? And then this morning I get up saying the same thing. It's like I could be looking out the window watching the bunny rabbits and drinking coffee, reading a nice psalm or something. And then, you know, but no, I said I would do this. And so I felt the attack, and it was so strong, and it's like it's not going to flow, and it's, you know, it's just going to fall flat, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, shield up. Sort out. So I started declaring the word of the Lord. He's not given me a spirit of fear. I hear his voice, not that of a stranger. He is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He gives us everything we need. I'm a mouthpiece of the Lord because I listen to him. And that I'm not the only one that's given the message today, because I believe he is imparting some things and others that are here, that we need each other. So that helped. Man, I got happy really quick. And so I just want to encourage you that when those flaming arrows come at you, and see, that's where offense comes from. Oh, she gave me stink eye. I wonder what's going on. We have a grandson, he's 2, and he's really good at stink eye. If you tell him no, little Asher, he's like, he will stare you down. Oh, he is so good at it. But we get offended. We get afraid. You know, the climate that we're in right now, there's so much fear, so much fear. And so much unrest. And those are the flaming arrows. See, what's happening is the enemy's trying to distract us. Because the enemy doesn't want us on the battlefield. He wants to keep us scared. He wants us to try to get the fire out of the wagon. Yeah. Meanwhile, the enemy's coming right in. Okay? Now, here's something really cool. So, Kelly, we were... like I said, it's so cool how God will just bring all these pieces in from different people. And so usually a few times a week, Sharon and Kelly and I will walk out at the Kiara Center by Riverton. And so I was telling him, you know, that I was getting ready for the message and that there was some music I'd been listening to, and it's from the Scottish National Orchestra. So you know it's going to be epic. You're going to have pipes, you're going to have drums. It's just amazing. And so Kelly goes, well, she says, I had this vision. She says, it's kind of weird. I don't even know if it's God, but, you know. And well, what is it? She said, well, I was standing in the church, and I saw us all here, and it was like we were inside of a bagpipe. Isn't that weird? Isn't that kind of weird? I said, no, actually, it's not. And if you look at, and we were talking how we really didn't know a whole lot how bagpipes worked, but, you know, we kind of had a somewhat of an idea. It's like, well, you know, somebody has to blow into that thing, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, right? And then the sound comes out. And so we were, you know, thought, oh, that's really cool. So I had to look it up, how bagpipes work. Bagpipes were originally used as an instrument for battle. Because one thing she said is we were making a sound that was coming out. And were first documented during the Battle of Pinkie in 1547. It is said the melody of pipes could be heard for as up to 10 miles away as the sound led Highlanders onto the battlefield. They heard that sound. 10 miles away. It's time to pick up your sword, your shield, and you go. In order to create their iconic and long-lasting sound, bagpipes rely on a continual flow of air to create a constant tune. So the player, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, breathes into this bag. And what happens is that air comes through and it goes up through the reeds and makes that sound. And we're those reeds, which he does talk about bruised reeds, doesn't he? The player blows into the bagpipe, filling the bag with air. It is the job of the player to continually fill the bag and squeeze the air out with their arm while playing the chanter. And man, sometimes I've felt squeezed. But that's when the sound comes out. Air passes through reeds within the pipes, creating the continuous sound expelled from the drone pipes at the top of the bagpipes and the chanter at the base. Using holes in the chanter at the base, the player can control the melody in the same way as any other reeded instrument. I believe it is the wind of the Holy Spirit breathing on us, squeezing us, releasing the sound. Perhaps that's our call here, is that call for battle. So I came across a video. We'll play the first one. And it's pretty amazing. It is, as she pulls it up. Our Attorney General, William Barr, a year ago at the Department of Justice playing the bagpipes. Can't help believing that's, I just believe that's a prophetic act. I believe that the Attorney General at the Department of Justice blew the battle cry. That just blew me away. But yeah. Now this next one is instrumental, and it's the pipes and drums. And But one of the things I just want us to do while we're listening to it is hear what the Lord is speaking to our hearts regarding the battle. If God gives you something when it's done, then you can come up and share.
Thank you.
Anybody have anything to share? Come on up. Sue.
Hope this all comes out correctly. I just feel like this is more than just bagpipes, and this is about an orchestra. And if you know anything about music, everybody has a part to play. So the guy who maybe just hits the drum once, you're like, oh, well, that's all he really does. But that part is important, and the music doesn't sound the same without everybody playing their part.
Amen. Yes. The orchestra sounds really good together. It's like just that what was just played. It wasn't just the bagpipes, but it was the drums, and it was, you know, the violins and everything. Hey.
Oh, no, don't be sorry. Here, I got extra. I didn't have used it yet or anything.
Yeah. It's actually really funny because as soon as I played this song, like when you told me what the song was this morning, I'm like, oh, okay. All right, Anna. So taking you back a little bit, I'm 16 years old. I have my first car. And my favorite thing about it is the surround sound, and I get to have control over the music. And my favorite CD was the soundtrack and the score for The Last Mohicans. And I would just listen to it on repeat. And I had a few favorite parts of it. Sorry, it's been just a season. And it was part of the reason. Like, you know, people are kind of divided on bagpipes. But no matter what, it moves you. Yeah. Moves you to hate it. Yeah. Moves you to love it. It's got you moved. And I was this Navy brat, just always had this. It's funny because now we're talking about buying a house, and the house is about a minute away. And my biggest fear / excitement was the idea of being tied down. I've never wanted a house because I was terrified of being stuck somewhere. And I'm 16, this Navy brat, we're finally like stuck in Northern Illinois. And that move, that call to me was just speaking of going. That there's this call, there's this thing, there's this really powerful thing pulling me. And I know it's pulling me and I need to go. And that's always what that meant to me. And today while Selena was singing and talking about that song, he's like, he knows you, he's for you. And as it was going, and he's saying, like, he's for you, he knows you, he's got you, he knows you. It's not him fighting against you. He's fighting for you, he's with you. And today, something that's been kind of on my heart lately and is interesting, because Dan was talking with Kevin earlier about a documentary that he was watching called The American Gospel, and how it's really got him thinking and questioning a lot. And there's, like, you're right, there's this spirit of fear, there's a spirit of uncertainty. Like, I work in international admissions, so this entire year it's been like, okay, embassies are down, all this stuff's down, there's so much stuff going on, kids are finally maybe traveling here, but oh wait, there's a whole bunch of abandoned stuck places. Why'd they even leave their country? Oh, but they wanted to leave, they were called to something more, they were called to this thing that's calling them. And God's reminding us of the anchor. My dad was in the Navy, so growing up here, we had anchors all over our house, and I know the words to the song, Anchors Away, and all of that. And it's the idea of the anchor is this rooting thing, like you're in the middle of a sea, there's this really scary thing happening, there's waves coming that you don't know what to do with, but there's something anchoring you. And just like the bagpipe calling you, it's moving you, but there's also an anchor in it. And the scriptures were coming back to me, and it's in Matthew 22, starting in 34. The great commandment. It's like when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And of these two commandments depend on the whole law and the prophets. And it's funny because in this moment he was being tested. They're like, oh, they failed. I'm gonna be here. I'm going to be the one to shake you. And they were expecting probably anything else in the world other than what he actually just said. And in this moment where there's so much uncertainty and there's so much pulling and anchoring you down and so much happening, God's just reminding you, like, hey, love me. Love those around me. And as you really meditate on all of this, that's what's really going to be this, like, your foundation so that you can fight. And so even when you were playing the song, God's just reminding me, he's like, I know you, I know your heart. Of all the songs I could have played, like, take it back to that moment when you would just close your eyes and sit in the car and just listen to that. And it was really special moment for me this morning.
Come on up, Adobo.
So, I'm going to try. Praise the Lord. You know, as the stuff was playing, before it started, you said, "Was the Lord speaking?" Just listen to it and see what the Lord is speaking. I was one of those that dismissed it. It's just music. We're just going to listen. But after the song was over, she came. She said something about the orchestra, the music. Everybody have to play their part. And Hannah came. Hannah said the first word, one of the first few words she said, "Season." You know, as I was watching, what I could see, even though initially I dismissed it, but all I was seeing was the video that was showing, there were different seasons. You know, there was the fall, there was the winter, it was like a summertime, and God is saying, what the Lord showed me was like seasons. There are different seasons, and there's a season that we are in now, and God is shaking. She kept on saying something, reminding her, you know, back to the, something about foundation, you know, shaking foundations, and the Lord, there's a season that we are in. I hope I'm able to put this together, but they both said two things that kind of resonated with what the Lord was saying to me as I was watching, you know, showing a different season. We are in a season, and the Lord is shaking foundations, and the Lord is pouring out his spirit on us. Pastor Scott says something at the beginning, you know, as we're saying, this is just, everything is connecting to the season. There's a season that we are in, and the Lord is doing a great thing. You know, if we pay attention to the world, we'll miss what the Lord is doing. The Lord is doing something in this season, and the Lord is shaking foundations, and he's betting forts. You know, in this season, you know, I saw the different seasons. She talked about it. She talked about orchestras, musicians, people playing their different part. The Lord, we are individual, but the Lord is releasing in this season, releasing something on us that when we all come together, there's a releasing in the season. Amen.
Amen. Got something? All right, I guess.
Yeah, well, you go ahead and come, Lucy, and then I'm going to.
So when I was watching this, just the presence of the Lord was so, so, so strong. And what I saw reminded me of Isaiah 33, starting in verse 14. The sinners in Springfield are terrified. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can live with the consuming fire? Who among us can live with everlasting burning? He who walks righteously and speaks with integrity, who rejects gain from fraud and from oppression, who shakes his hand free from taking of bribes, who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed, and shuts his eyes to avoid looking upon evil, he will dwell on the heights. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. His bread will be given him. His water will be permanent. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see a far distant land. And I just kept seeing these scenes of a far distant land. And I feel like the Lord would say, this house is full of the people who walk righteously and speak with integrity and all of those attributes. And even as this house, in the midst of the darkness of Springfield, in the midst of the warfare over this capital city, your eyes will see the king in his beauty.
Thank you. It's a, if you didn't, maybe what I'm getting ready to say is the obvious, but the first thing I stated this morning as we gathered that, I actually sent this out to the board this week, and I think I sent a copy to Larry as well, but just a strong feeling that we as a body, that God connects us together so that we as a body have a voice to the greater community at large, okay? And that voice isn't, I mean, I could say all churches are supposed to reflect Jesus, okay? I could say all churches are supposed to manifest love. All churches are supposed to be kind to the poor, but that's not what I'm saying. It's different when I say there's a prophetic voice. A prophetic voice is different because it's able to, like the sound of a bagpipe, prepare the heart for something that's coming that's not easy to prepare for. I mean, in those days, in those times, you know, I've watched a lot of war shows, okay? But, you know, I think of Braveheart as one, but it's like, hey, against insurmountable odds, people were able to do incredible feats of bravery because they had something worth fighting for. They were representing a cause greater than themselves. And that was what David said when wondering why the armies of Israel were cowering. His question was, is there not a cause? And you know, for you and I can tell you the cause in our nation is about what our children and our grandchildren are going to inherit from us as we look at the complexion of a nation that's gone from honoring God to dishonoring God in a generation, a nation that's gone from biblical moorings, the anchors, if you will, to a sliding scale where the Bible describes that which is evil is called good, and that which is called good is called evil, where it's normal perversion is normalized, weird things are normalized, nobody is allowed to say there's a such thing as right or wrong, there's a such thing as sin and righteousness, there's such things that, and if you say the word judgment, it's like, oh my gosh, you really are not going to be popular. But except the Bible's just full of a day of judgment that happens after the message of God's goodness and kindness has been heralded through the land, after the message of what lies ahead and blessing for those who align their hearts with God's or those who resist and rebel against God's heart and those who deceive themselves to think that there is nothing really going to happen. But that's what a prophetic voice does. A prophetic voice manifests both a message of God's goodness and kindness, but also a message of warning that this thing isn't, I mean, if you haven't gathered by now, we're not going to go back to normal. What we've seen in a short period of time is confirmation in my heart that normal as we knew it no longer exists. And we don't have to be terrified, we don't have to be fearful, we don't have to cower or hide, and we don't have to be ashamed because the name that we name is above every other name. Because the blood that was shed for us wasn't shed so that we could hide, but it was shed so that his righteousness in us would be the thing that we can count on when everything else around us is shaking. He says, once again, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Well, beloved, I'm telling you, it doesn't, I mean, if you haven't had something shaken yet, just hang around a little bit longer, okay? And the idea is, in the midst of uncertainty, there is one who's certain. And I say this, but I've discovered in my own heart, because that's the only place that we can go, is that I'm not nearly as confident in him as I thought I was. Oh, preacher, you said that. What does that mean? That just means that everybody gets this opportunity, a grace period, to go, would I recognize it if he called me into battle? Would I be able to respond if he called me away from that, which I thought was important, into something that I couldn't see the importance of in the moment? When I heard the cry, see, and biblically speaking, when the Lord spoke to Jesus in a public arena, those around him, some said, we heard thunder. Other ones said, well, an angel might have spoke. But none of them heard what was really being said because their ears had been attuned to other things for so long, they didn't recognize it when the voice of the one they claimed to serve, because these are people who said they, by heritage, they were God's people. And so we're in an hour where God's saying, I want you to attune your hearing. I want you to embrace an identity in me. And I want you to be ready. Don't be fearful. Be ready. You know, this is the time to connect with God's heart and connect with those who encourage you to do so. And I believe you're going to be encouraged. I believe Jan just modeled what it's like to go from uncertainty, and things aren't nearly as comfortable right now as I want them to be, to saying, shields up and swords out. And to me, that's, you know, I happen to know a little bit about shields. I happen to know a little bit about war. But that shield, there was, if you ever heard in the Old Testament, where it says your shield and your buckler. Those are actually, the shield is this great big one that stands head to toe. And they planted that. That's why sometimes they had to have somebody, a shield bearer or an armor bearer. They planted that as a big shield, as a big protection. The buckler was a little bitty one they had in their hand for hand-to-hand combat. But the shield, the big one, all of the big stuff that would fly at them. And when people started putting their shields down together, it became a wall. That's why one shield isn't a big deal, but 10 becomes hard to put, and everybody putting their shield of faith in the ground and saying, this far and no more. No more compromise, no more fear, no more political correctness, no more that which the Lord calls evil will we call good. No more that which the Lord calls good shall we be allowed to call evil. Our voice can and will make a difference. And I can tell you, just because it's the Lord's voice doesn't mean it'll be popular. So, yeah, praise God. I don't know if you had any more you wanted to wrap up in prayer, or if you had anything else. But you want me to do it, or you?
Yeah. Oh, well, I did want to mention, I didn't know that there was people that don't like bagpipes.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I'm like, really? It's like those people that don't like chocolate. What? I don't get it. Well, anyway, I love bagpipes. And going to Scotland, we got to hear quite a few. But I did want to mention, I didn't put a lot of emphasis on the sword of the Spirit, you know, which is the Word of God. And so, like I said, this morning I got such a revelation that when all those thoughts were coming at me, And I want to encourage you this week, when they come, and they will. It's not if, you know that. It's when. Then, all right. Then hear the Lord say to you, shield up, sword out. Because those are flaming arrows trying to get all of us focused on something else. Amen. Oh. Leah's going to share. It's my daughter, Leah, for those who don't know.
I just really feel impressed to encourage people who might be sitting in their seats who are struggling with this message. For those who might feel dry or stuck, just going through the motions. Because obviously, again, seasons is a word, and there are seasons where that is where the Lord has us for many reasons. But one thing, when my mom read Hebrews 11, and I think it was towards the end, so it must have been verse 33 or 34 in the Passion Translation, something that just kept like standing out to me was, they became mighty warriors in battle. It does not say that they were mighty warriors who went to battle, even though that's who we are, right? Even though we don't feel it. But the word says, even you could call it a translation, but the word says they became mighty warriors in battle. And so I just want that to encourage you guys. And then I know I've been in places before, too, where I'm like, well, I'm not a warrior. I'm not a mighty intercessor. I'm a... the Lord uses me this way and that way, and only those people are mighty warriors. Well, going along with, like, with Sue's word, it's basically like we all have a different part to play, and it does not all look the exact same, but it is a, like we are a mighty weapon together. And how God made you, you are a mighty weapon. And then going back to, well, how do I get equipped? You know, my mom talked about the shield of faith and the Roman shield, and when Priscilla was talking about the Roman shield, just to give us a reference of what Paul was talking about in the New Testament. Yes, it was the size of a door, and it was made of 6 layers of leather, and they had to oil it daily. Well, that brought to my remembrance the parable of the virgins and their oil. They had to keep their lamps full, because those who didn't have a full lamp, you know, when the bridegroom came, if you don't know that story, you'll have to go back and look it up. It's good. It's in the New Testament. I don't know where, Matthew, probably something. But, you know, so how do we get oil? It's cultivating that relationship with Jesus. When you are dry, you're using your sword to get your mind in the word and to declare what you are reading, or to decree what you are reading, or just to speak it out because you feel like you don't have any might to decree it. Just speak it out, and even if it's one thing, it's over and over, and that is cultivating oil, because you are setting your eyes and your mind on things above and on Jesus and on the truth, so that when the enemy comes with just voices of just want, nonstop, you know what the truth is, and you are armed. Your sword is out. Your shield is up. Does that make sense to anyone? So I just want to encourage you, and I just want to say, I just want to pray if I can real quick. So if that is you, you take this as your own. So God, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness. Because you are faithful, God, we can stand in faith. God, I pray for those who feel dry, who feel stuck, who feel like their identity is under attack, feeling like they don't have what it takes to be used by you, or even to stand firm in the battle that they are in, or in our world right now, God. And I pray that you would come with clarity, that you would even give them just a little bit of that unction, God, to open their Bible and to just start speaking out your word and your truth. And then that would stir their hearts, God, that they would be filled to overflowing, that they would feel hope arise, that they would feel faith arise. And thank you, God, for your firm foundation and for your goodness, God, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us, God, that you never look down on us, but you are right next to us. And use us for your glory, God. May that be the cry and the prayer of our hearts, no matter where we are, is use us for your glory. Use us for your glory, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wait a minute. You're not getting away. I love her. Thank you. Well, yeah. You never know what's going to happen when God shows up. That's why you don't want to miss an opportunity. I'm okay with dismissing, but I don't want to hurry if the Holy Spirit's got something else. So I'm going to ask you just to kind of put a thing on pause here with me just one more moment. Father, we love you, and God, if you're done with us on this time today, Lord, then we're just thankful. I'm just going to ask the worship team just to go ahead and come here for just one more minute. Lord, there's been so much that's been spoken today, and Lord, I believe that you're drawing people to you, God, some in an unprecedented fashion. Lord, I believe you're equipping us and reminding us. Lord, some of us who are older might be feeling a little tired. I can only speak for myself, but I know. And God, others are uncertain that there's even a war going on. Others, Lord, just feel ill-equipped to do anything. But God, you are the great equipper. You are the great refresher. You're the great reminder of who we are when we forget, and who you are, Lord, when we get distracted. So, Holy Spirit, do what you do in our midst. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, meet each of us where we are. Lord, that today wasn't an accident. That those who heard this message, those that are here, Lord, you're working in lives for a greater purpose. Lord, we want to surrender and give ourselves to that purpose. Thank you, Father. Erin feels like she's got something, so I'm going to...
I'm just going to tag on to everything because I feel like I'm supposed to. I'll hold it close, sorry. I was listening yesterday to a Scottish prophetic guy, and he was talking about how he felt like the Lord was speaking to him, that this is a season of uncomfortable closeness and intimacy with the Lord, he was using a story from Jeremiah, which I'm not going to go into, but it was just, he said it not in a bad way, an uncomfortable closeness, but just it's new in a newness of a deepening in your relationship with the Lord. And it was just, I don't know, I just felt like this is that season, and that is the anchor for us, is our deepness and our relationship, our foundation with him. And the other thing was, we were talking about that my mom told me about the bagpipe thing, and Justin and I were talking about the Highlanders, and when they would go and fight, they would, you know, they had their faces painted, so if you've seen Braveheart, you've seen that. And first of all, what first came to me was the face paint would, and I don't know about the veracity historically of this, so don't quote me on it, but when I was sitting back there thinking about it, I felt like that's your identifying mark. It was easy to see who was on your side in battle because they've got face paint, and you can go, those people are on my side, and you can identify the enemy as someone that doesn't have that mark. And the other thing was, Justin said that the paint and stuff that they used to use had some kind of psychotropic in it, and it would make them fearless. So it would like amp them up and make them fearless. So just, I don't know, just an encouragement of, take that for what you will.
Amen. Wow, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with me, if you will. We're just going to call on the name of the Lord here as you go. If you want to hang out for a little while, that's fine. If you want to receive prayer today, come forward. You know, if something has stirred you, we want to agree with you in prayer. As we just lift up the name of Jesus here today, as you go, may you be blessed, may you be encouraged, maybe the season of discomfort that you find yourself in, maybe you realize that God's grace has led you there, and God's grace is going to equip you and lead you through it. May you become strong in battle today. And may you be encouraged that your faith is big enough, as long as it's faith in Jesus. That the sword of the Spirit that he's equipped you with, his word, is a sword that you can use and see God move on your behalf in power and might. Understand and recognize that the warfare that you fight is not against the weapons of this world, nor are your weapons of this world. But it is principalities and powers. It is spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. And you have a name, and you have an equipment, and you have an arsenal that is far more powerful than that which he possesses. So today, I just want to release that encouragement over you as you go. May your heart be stirred to lean into this season with greater expectancy of coming out of it stronger, coming through it more well-equipped, and with greater discernment on the truth about who you are and the assignment he's given you. May that be what you receive in this hour, in this time. God bless you until we're together again, in Jesus' name. And if you want to hang out, like I said, for a while and worship with us, that's great. We're going to pray for those who want to get prayer. And if you got to go, be blessed in your journey.